This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Brian Tyree Henry's career really blew up 7 years ago with the debut of the TV show Atlanta.
All right, you got me. I'm a rapper. You may have heard of me. Paperboy.
Oh, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. You're the guy who shot someone.
Well, it ain't really happened like that.
No, I'm actually Paperboy.
Who?
Paperboy. The rapper that your child was imitating.
You ain't Paperboy, man.
Yeah, I am a little bit.
His role as rapper Paperboy led to an Emmy nomination and a string of roles as an ensemble player, Godzilla vs. Kong, If Beale Street Could Talk, most recently the big-budget action film Bullet Train. But in the movie Causeway, he's one of the leads, and we see a different side of Brian Tyree Henry. In the quiet drama, he plays James, a mechanic who forms an unlikely friendship with a young veteran named Lindsay, who's played by Jennifer Lawrence.
Hey, you good? Look, if it get dark, now you just ride it, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Joining me now is Brian Tyree Henry. Welcome back to Press Play.
It's so nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you back. Well, tell me, who is James? Tell us about this character.
James? Who is James? It's a great question. You know, we meet James in this place in his life, where he is a person that has been dealt a hand that's been a little troubling for him. He was the driver in a terrible car accident, which cost him the loss of his nephew, which then also cost him the loss of his family that was still around. And it also cost him the loss of his leg. So he's now an amputee. And he is pretty much living a life of solitude ever since that accident happened, walking around with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, and a lot of grief. And then one day he meets Lindsay, who comes to his auto body shop to just get her truck repaired. And in that meeting, I think he sees a glimmer of hope with actually creating a friendship with someone, with actually seeing somebody where he can kind of, you know, move from behind that curtain that he had been hiding behind. Mm-hmm. And to be seen for who he was before and to be seen anew. So, you know, James was a character that came to me that I kind of had a lot of hesitation with, because I didn't want to judge him. You know, there was a lot in me that had a lot of judgments about, you know, where he was coming from and where he chose to stay. And I just was like, you know, rubbing up against that in such a huge way. I'm just like, well, why didn't he leave? And why is he in a place that reminds him of all the loss? And I think that I was screaming that mostly because I, Brian, needed to unpack what that was for myself. And I think that he came at a time in my life where I was ready to really lay that down and unpack that.
That's really interesting that you said you had a lot of judgment about this character for not getting on with his life, being stuck, I guess,
right,
in one place,
which right,
ends up being the theme of the movie, like whether you should move on or stay. I guess I'm wondering why you were so judgy of him for doing that, for trying to staying in his hometown and just being.
That's a fair question. Absolutely fair question. I think, you know, because I was battling my own things when it came to James, because I was a person, you know, I pretty much fashioned myself as being a person like a runaway, right? Like if it didn't suit me and it didn't feel right, then I got the hell out of there. You know, I was the kind of person that was like, okay, well, if nothing changes, right? So why don't you go somewhere, figure it out, go see what's going on. And I always had questions for people that chose to stay, and to be completely transparent, I also had judgments about them, those people who chose to stay where they are, who chose to deal with the cars that were given to them. And I'm like, no, man, like there's got to be something more. So basically what I discovered in playing James is that it actually takes more courage and more strength to stay. It actually takes more to actually stay where you are, because then that means that there's something that you yourself have accepted, something that you yourself have decided for yourself that is actually like beneficial to your growth and development. I always came from a place where I just, you know, I'd always run away, you know, from things. Mm-hmm. I'd always been the one to like venture out and go somewhere else.
But is that running away or running to?
You know, look at you. That's a good question. But for me, I was usually told that it was running away. It was always from the people who were observing what I was doing that I was told that it was kind of a running away and not standing in my power and confronting it. But now that you've said that, I guess it was more of a running to, because in the running to something, you know, I'm sitting here with you, you know, discussing this film in the running too. Yeah. I'm getting this kind of recognition for what I've been doing.
Yeah. Because you're from Fayetteville, North Carolina, right? It's a military town.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yeah.
So had you stayed, what do you think you'd be doing now?
I don't necessarily know. There was just no such thing as staying for me, honestly. And I don't think that the powers that be, including my family and my friends, would have allowed me to do that in the first place. A big reason why I am where I am today is because of the people who saw something in me and really told me to go for it. You know, like, I can't lie that there is a part of naivete that I've gotten by in life with, because, you know, I'm still a student. You know, I'm always willing to learn things. I'm always, you know, in this precocious stage of life where I really want to discover things and figure things out. But like, I also am a person who knows how to listen and take notes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm also a person that if someone is like, no, maybe you should try this, actually, it would behoove you if you actually leaned into this a little bit more. What could it hurt in trying, you know? Because I know what the other side looks like to not have anybody say anything, to actually feel like you're overlooked, to feel like nobody's there to champion you. So when you get that voice from somebody that's like, hey, what if you gave it a shot? Like, what can it hurt to give yourself a fighting chance? That was also another level that totally broke through for me with playing James. Is like, yo, what is the harm in giving yourself a shot? What is the harm in actually trying something new? What is the harm in actually being seen by somebody? Like, to really be seen by somebody, no matter how hard you've tried to hide it and tuck it down, somebody can see through the cracks and actually see the potential of what you can be. And that was what I wanted to explore mostly in Causeway.
Yeah, so there is a literal revelation in one scene where they're in a swimming pool and it's late at night, and it's just the two of them. Yeah. And she's trying to get him into the pool, and your character doesn't want to go into the pool. And then finally she convinces him, and there's this really powerful scene where he takes off his pants and takes off his prosthetic leg.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that scene and what you're getting at there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that scene, I often refer to that scene as the baptism scene. Because, you know, baptisms are a place where we essentially get all our sins washed away if we just, you know, give ourselves over, you know, to Christ or whatever that is that you know, you believe. And then you apparently come out anew. And so when approaching this scene, there were a few things that I had to always keep in mind. And that was the sense of danger. One, because technically we are breaking and entering on a property that is not ours in the middle of the night, drinking and imbibing and having a good time. So our guards are down. So I wanted to make sure that that was something that you got to feel James actually get to release. He gets to let his guard down. Mm-hmm. And not only that, there's an exposure that happens. And I thought of a few things with that, because here you meet these two people who are now labeled as disabled. And usually what I think of is like, what are the resources that are no longer given to you because now you're considered disabled? And so something as simple as swimming was something that I thought about with James, like what it actually means to disrobe and expose yourself to someone, to actually show them the process that you have to do daily just to get in a pool, like to take your leg off and to really like trust that this person, A, will not judge you, will not have any kind of reaction, will actually allow you to just be. And so that scene in particular, I remember us doing it that night, a few nights, and with the great direction of Lila, it was able to be as intimate as it was. And so, you know, there were a few things, you know, like I think like the unpacking of exposure for both of them, honestly, because then you get to see Lindsay get back to this carefreeness of who she is. You get to see her actually have this connection with somebody where she wants to be a little bit more carefree, where she wants to actually just forget about all the realities that are outside the compound that they're in. It's just like, you know, let's meet and explore what it is to be free, to mm-hmm. submerge ourselves for a second. And you get to see that with James. I mean, and that was another thing that I really loved about the exploration of these two characters, is this kind of teenage, kind of adolescent wonder about each other, you know, where there was this moment or these moments that these two characters got to let everything down and actually meet somebody where they are, you know, either it be going to get snowballs or just giving somebody a ride or going through CDs and playing, you know, that was the greatness about it, is that the lightness came out of them The more and more they were around each other, and they were no longer just their disabilities anymore. They weren't, you know, bogged down by what everyone had told them that they couldn't do, what their potential couldn't be.
So he gets in and he feels absolved for a moment.
Kind of.
And then something happens and he's right back where he was. And I guess I want to ask you about the romance or the lack of romance in in this movie.
Go for it.
Why aren't they more romantic? And I know she states that she likes women and not men, but why do you think that that was a plot point?
We had several talks about this, Jennifer, Lila, and I, when it came to the
Lila's
connection.
The director.
Yes, Lila Neugebauer, our director. And I think that what we all really wanted was we wanted this to be an exploration of a friendship that just existed, you know, that didn't have to come with the weight of will they, won't they? What if it was just two people who honestly were meeting each other in this space and time and needed nothing more from each other than to find a place of healing, who needed nothing more than to actually have someone see them for who they are and where they are, and to have somebody kind of usher them back to the place where they started. And that's, you know, that kind of carefreeness, you know. There were a lot of tropes that we didn't want to bring to the surface. You know, we were very, very conscious and aware of this Black man and this white woman in space and what the intimacy could look like. We wanted it to just exist. We wanted it to just be this thing where you actually watched these two people exist and actually no longer be what their burdens were. Sometimes we hold on to our wounds and to our losses like they're tender babies. You know, we carry them with us. Some of us don't even know who we are without them. And I think for James and Lindsay, you get to watch them both finally take whatever this heavy load of what they've been carrying with them or that has been put upon them and get to lay it down.
But it does seem like he wants to have something romantic happen.
I don't necessarily think so. I think that what happens is you have a man that is vulnerable, has his guard down. You have this person. He's literally finally cried and opened up himself. And there's a person that came in and showed affection. I don't even know the last time that James had anybody hug him. For most of it, James has been made to blame. I mean, how could he ever feel like he could have anybody show him any affection when he is responsible for the loss of this young child? Like, and I'm sure that he felt that he never even deserved it. So the minute that this woman decides to throw her arms around me and show me some kind of affection, I think that you finally get to see him let that guard down of actually feeling like he deserves to be cared for.
But then he's denied a deeper connection in terms of a romantic.
Yeah, it's shot down, isn't it?
Yeah. And that seems like, so then he's not deserving of it.
But then you also get to see the redemption of him defending himself by actually, like, he fixes the truck. And he goes on about his life. He kind of just says, you know, well, that's what that was. Let me go back to my life of how it was. He tells her exactly how he feels about her, you know, because there's no easy exit for him in that scene. That was something that was really frustrating for me, too, because I was like, well, here you have this person that got me to jump in this pool, to disrobe, to take off this leg. And then this moment happens. And there's not even a quick way for me to escape. Like, in order for me to really get out of here, I then have to swim, pull myself onto this ledge, get back onto this chair, put this sleeve back on, put this leg back on. But at the end of the day, he got to leave everything there. There are things that he got to say that he had never said before. I don't think that he ever got a chance to truly be seen in that way by anybody. And he got to leave it there. He got to leave himself bare. So, you know, yes, like, that was the thing. You're still dealing with two people who were damaged in their own way. And yet, at the end of the day, she found her way back to him and really came to him with an offering of a friendship, of really starting over again. I think that that was the truest exploration that we wanted to show, is just like what it means to begin again, because usually beginning is truly the hardest part. How many of us always tell ourselves, yeah, I'll start it tomorrow. We all do this.
Scary.
We all are so good. It's terrifying, but it's also so gratifying when you get to begin with someone that's going to actually hold you accountable. That's actually going to be like, you know what, it's scary for me too. And I think that you meet these two characters in these places where they haven't been told a lot of what they can start again. They've made up in their minds of like, no, this is kind of what I deserve. In each other, they get to discover the possibility of how to begin.
Yeah, no, it is a beautiful idea the way it ends. Even though the movie, I have to say, it's not a joyful movie to watch, but it is really sensitive and moving. piece of work. I'm wondering how you're welcome, how you felt doing that versus the other big movie you did, Bullet Train, where you play an assassin. I mean, it's a really fun movie, but
both
it's a totally
men have their own journeys, right? You know, what I really loved the most about playing Lemon was his connection to his brother, Tangerine, right? Like, here you have this duo who, by whatever the circumstances of life were, they have become these assassins and a team of assassins. And what I really loved the most about it was exploring the brotherhood between Aaron and I and what that really looked like. Like, your mission is to kill people professionally and murder people, but yet you're going on this mission with somebody you truly love and care about. And that is what was the most fulfilling for me, because it was about the nurture, honestly. Like, I always think about my characters and like what their nurture was to get them to where they were, who got them there, what did they lack in the department of nurturing that got them to be who they are, but also how much they need to be nurtured. And so I think that juxtaposition between James and Lemon is kind of the same, because you also see James being someone who is by nature a good nurturer. He is a man of service. He actually is a guy that actually cares about other people, mm-hmm. but then doesn't believe that he deserves to be cared about. Because at the end of the day, all the characters that I play, I want people to nurture them. I want people to care about them. I want people to leave their living rooms or leave the movie theater and just think for a second, are these men okay? I know it's easy for people to pass judgment on characters and see things like, you know, and just be like, oh, well, I don't like this person. Oh, this person clearly did that. But if I can just provide a little bit of light onto how you can nurture them and care for them, then I've done my job. With James, mm-hmm. I really wanted people to lean in a little bit more and figure out if he was going to get to the other side. I didn't want him to be a toss away, nor do I want any of my characters to ever be that. I want them to leave an impression. I want you to think about them just for a second. I want you to want more of them, actually, yeah. because in that it helps them want more for themselves. You know, whether it be Lemon, whether it be Alfred, whether it be James, I still want there to be a sense of care for people whenever you welcome them into your home or welcome them into your vision line of view, that there's a nurture that you kind of want to give them.
Yeah. Well, it helps that you have a very soulful face and big searching eyes.
Thank you. That is a compliment I will never forget for the rest of my life. Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, I'm going to miss you as Paperboy, as Alfred, but I'm really excited to see what you do next.
So am I. And thank you for supporting it. And thank you. Just thank you.
No, oh, you are so welcome. And I hope it won't be another 6 years before we talk
again. I know. Yeah. Let's not go this long again. Okay.
Brian Tyree Henry, he is starring in Causeway, which is currently streaming on Apple TV+. And that's it for the show today. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, you can listen again or listen to past episodes or future episodes by checking out our podcast. It's at kcrw.com/pressplay or wherever else you get your podcasts. It's entirely free and it updates every single day. I'm Madeline Brand. I'll see you tomorrow.